Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the twelve. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Let's pray. Lord, we sure do thank you again for the opportunity we have to come on this Easter Sunday that's been set aside, Lord, that we can celebrate the resurrection of Christ, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are alive this morning and you're in heaven. And Lord, I just pray as we come to worship you this morning, I pray that you just ever be real in our midst today, Lord. I pray that you'll speak to hearts. I pray for that one that may be here this morning that's never been saved, it's never trusted you as their Savior. Lord, I pray this might be the day that they'll take their place as a sinner and trust you and believe upon you and receive you as their Savior, Father. Lord, have your way through the remainder of this service. Be with other churches that's preaching Christ and him crucified and resurrected this morning. I pray that you'll get glory all through this day. We love you and we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. In a Christian question and answer column, the following letter appeared. It said, "Dear Eutychus, our preacher said on Easter that Jesus just swooned on the cross and that the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think?" Said, "Dear reader, beat your preacher with a cat of nine tails with 39 strokes, nail him to a cross, hang him in the blistering sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his side, embalm him and put him in an airless tomb for 72 hours and see what happens. Though infidels deny it, though the intellectual elite and liberal thinkers call it foolishness, the doctrine of Jesus Christ is of vital importance. In fact, the doctrine of the resurrection is what sets Christianity apart from all other religions. It's the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the cardinal doctrine of Christianity. Everything we believe and hold sacred stands or falls on the fact of the resurrection. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're no better off than the worst sinner this morning. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then the Bible is a lie and we have no hope. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we have no gospel to preach and no Savior to preach about. We're of all men most miserable. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then he himself was guilty of deception. He said in John chapter 2 and verse 19, said that if he died, he would raise again the third day. five times he said that he would get up out of the tomb, destroy the resurrection, and Jesus is reduced to an ordinary man just as you and I are. He is no longer God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Destroy the resurrection and you have destroyed the reason for our justification. Romans chapter 4 verse 25 says he was raised for our justification. No wonder the devil hates the doctrine this morning of the resurrection as no other. If he can convince men that Jesus is dead, then they will never believe unto salvation. Perhaps this is why he had already put it into the minds of men to doubt it before it had ever happened. The Sadducees in Mark chapter 12 and verse 18 said they believe in no resurrection. Even some in the church doubt whether there's a resurrection this morning. Verse 12 I read in your hearing said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? I thank God this morning that I know the resurrection to be a fact. I want to preach this morning for a little bit on the subject of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We'll look at several things, but I'm glad I serve a risen Savior this morning. I'm glad that according to history, a little over 2,000 years ago, over in a little land of Israel, on a place called Golgotha, I'm glad that our Savior took our place. He laid down His life freely. He allowed men to nail him to the cross and hang him between heaven. He shed his blood for you and I, but I'm glad that wasn't the end of the story. I'm glad that on that third and glorious day that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And I'm glad that he's alive this morning and he's interceding for us. And I'm glad that everything that we have, as far as our salvation goes, if we've trusted Jesus this morning, it's hinged upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning. And I can declare this morning through a fact that Jesus has resurrected. There's an empty tomb somewhere in Jerusalem. Now, there's a lot of men that's died and been placed, and people are worshiping them this morning. But I'm glad that our Savior's alive this morning. He's well, and he's in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father. So we want to look at several things about the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and try to honor Him on this resurrection day that's been set aside to celebrate Him being alive. Number one, the first thing I want to look at is the prophecy of the resurrection. There in verse 4, verse 15, the Bible says, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I'm glad that we have the fact of the Word of God that Jesus is alive this morning. The resurrection was not an event about which men know nothing. It had been predicted before it ever took place. I mean, the psalmist told about it over in Psalms chapter 16 and verse 10. Said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the unholy one to see corruption. Many passages of Scripture we could go to and we could look and we could find the prophecy that Jesus was going to come, that He was going to die, that He was going to shed His blood, but then on the third day He was going to be resurrected. Job, over in one of the oldest books of the Bible, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I'm glad this morning that through the prophecy of the Word of God, we know of the resurrection of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ even told about it over in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38. Matthew chapter 12, we'll turn to a few passages of Scripture this morning and look at them. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38 through 40, the Lord Jesus Christ said, but I say unto you that every idle word that... That's the wrong passage. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38 through 40. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So we see that Jesus prophesied and told about His resurrection there. And He said there wouldn't be no sign given. This world's looking for signs today. But I'm glad of the fact of the Word of God, through prophecy that we have, that Jesus was going to resurrect on the third day. John chapter 2 and verse 19. John chapter 2 and verse 19. Again, we find where the Scripture says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Other places, Mark chapter 8, 31, He predicts and prophesies of the fact that He would arise the third day. And I know that a lot of different things about when Jesus was crucified. I believe Jesus was crucified on Wednesday afternoon. And I believe they put Him in the tomb before 6 o'clock. I mean, it took 3 days, 72 hours. I mean, 3 days and 3 nights. You can't hardly get that out of Jesus being crucified on a Friday and putting Him in the tomb by 6 o'clock. And I believe that Jesus was crucified, and His Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the world. Well, I believe that Jesus was in the heart of the earth, somewhere between 6 o'clock, I believe, on Saturday evening and daylight Sunday morning. I believe He arose victorious over the grave. And so we see the prophecy of the resurrection. We see the resurrection was pictured before it ever took place. It was pictured by Isaac there in Genesis chapter 22 when Abraham took Isaac up and God told him, "Carry thy only son up to Mount Moriah and want you to offer him up for a sacrifice there." So in Genesis, Isaac is seen on the mount of the sacrifice. The next time he's seen, he's alive and well and claiming his bride. And then we see not only by Isaac, but by Jonah that I've already mentioned, the only sign that would be given there in Matthew chapter 12, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. And then we see the prediction of the resurrection and the fulfillment of it proved that Jesus is worthy to be followed and worshiped this morning. One day there was a little girl that proclaimed her faith as a Christian. A smart aleck nearby responded by saying, "Which Christ? Aren't there many?" Her answer was classic. She says, "Sir, there are many pretenders, but I worship the only one which rose from the dead." I'm glad this morning that we're serving the only one. We're worshiping the only one. That's what we've come this morning here to Open Door Baptist Church, is to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior this morning. And I'm thankful that we see all through the Scriptures, we see the prophecy of His resurrection. Number two, verses 5 through 8, we see the proof of His resurrection. I'm glad this morning we're not just going by hearsay, but we're going by the proof that we have that the Lord Jesus Christ did resurrect on that third and glorious day. We see, first of all, the proof of human reasoning over in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 24. We'll not turn over there, but we know the story of the Emmaus disciples as they walked along there on the road that day, and they were discussing the events that had taken place, how Jesus had died, and the things that they had heard about that He had risen again. And they were reasoning in their hearts about it. And Jesus come along, He walked with them, and then He took the Scripture and He began to expound and tell them about what had taken place. And then finally He revealed Himself to the disciples there. But we see the proof of human reasoning, the Roman guard and the seal there. We know that that broken Roman seal, if it had been broken, the first obvious fact was the breaking of the seal that stood for the power and authority of the Roman Empire. Now, they had power, and they put that seal on that tomb to make it sure. The consequences of breaking the seal was extremely severe, they say. The CIA and the FBI, the Roman Empire, were called into action to find the man or men who were responsible for breaking a seal like that. Said if they were apprehended, it meant automatic execution by crucifixion upside down. People feared the breaking of the seal. Jesus' disciples showed signs of cowardice when they hid themselves. And Peter, one of those disciples, had even went out and he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. So we see that the Romans, we see the fear and the weakness of the disciples. They were afraid they couldn't steal the body because they were afraid to. And the Romans, they couldn't steal the body. Therefore, that leaves only God that could raise Jesus from the dead. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 declares, said, "Now the God of peace that brought the shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." So we know that God was the one that raised Jesus from the dead that first Easter Sunday morning there in the tomb. We see not only the proof of human reasoning, but we see the proof of human testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. We know it wasn't a hallucination. There were more witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus than at the signing of the Declaration of the Independence. Yet no one doubts that the document was signed, yet some still doubt of the resurrection this morning. We see not only the proof of human testimony, the proof of human nature. People are not willing to die for something that they don't believe. Yet the disciples were willing to give up everything, including their lives, because they believed that Jesus was alive. And you read and study the lives of the apostles and the disciples of Jesus that went about preaching the gospel of the grace of God, and that Jesus was alive and that He is resurrected. We see not only the proof of human nature, but we see the proof of common experience. The disciples were saddened by the death of Jesus and hiding in fear, yet 3 days later they were happy and filled with power. The only explanation is that He arose from the dead. Then we see the proof not only of the common experience, but we see the proof of changed lives. The disciples were forever changed after the resurrection as they went about place to place, preaching that Jesus was alive, especially Simon Peter. We know that that day after the resurrection on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, the man that had literally denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he stood up empowered there with the power of the Holy Spirit. He preached and some 3,000 people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the proof of changed lives. We see the changed lives that's here today that the Lord Jesus Christ has worked in their hearts. The lives of sin that they used to live. Yet because of a resurrected Savior this morning, I'm glad that when men, women, boys, and girls trust this risen Savior, you'll see changed lives. I'm glad that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 declared, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Hey, that's why people can't understand why people will not be involved in the things of this world. How people that was involved in a life of sin, after they trusted Jesus, after they went through and they experienced the grace of God in their lives, how they can change and how they can just turn about face, and the Lord can work grace in their heart and bring them out of that life of sin and put them on a new path, and their life is different. The proof of changed lives. I tell you, you got here too late to tell me this morning that we're serving a dead Savior. Hey, I know where I was when I was back under in sin. I was a preacher's son, and I'd been to church all of my life, yet I was on my way to hell. And on that Friday night, in that August meeting, when I made my way down to an old-fashioned altar and God worked grace in my heart, it's been different in my life ever since. Hey, I've done some things that I'm ashamed of, but I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that God worked grace in my heart and changed my life. So we see the proof of changed lives. Has He changed your life this morning? Has He put new desires in your heart? Has He put a new relationship in your heart with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you, Jesus will change your life. Just as He changed the disciples' lives, there they had walked with Him and they had been with Him all that time, and they were looking for a deliverer. Yet when the Lord Jesus Christ, He died and they hung Him on that cross, they were devastated because they thought that was the end. But hallelujah, on the third day, hey, they went to that tomb and they found an empty tomb there, and it forever changed their lives. We see not only the proof of changed life, but we see the proof of time. Time's a great leveler of men. You know that 50 years after you're dead, and most of the time sooner than that, men will forget you. They'll say, "Chris who?" They'll say, "Terry who?" They won't remember us. 50 years from now, we'll be gone. Nobody will think much about us. Said that Dr. Harry Rimmer was lecturing in a certain place, and during question and answer period, a young Jewish man stood up and said to Dr. Rimmer, "What did Jesus Christ do that no one else ever did?" Dr. Rimmer answered him this way. He said, "Sir, you're a Jew. Would you agree with me that the Romans crucified nearly 30,000 young Jewish men?" The questioner answered in the affirmative. Dr. Rimmer continued by saying, "All right, I will name one of those that were crucified, and you name one. I name Jesus Christ." The student said, "I can't name another." Do you know why the young man couldn't name another of those 30,000? Because time is a great lever of names and events. Only one crucified Jew is known to men, and his name is Jesus this morning. He is remembered because he lives. Nobody hates a dead man. When people die, hate is forgotten. Yet Satan hates Jesus, and the world hates Jesus. The demons hate Jesus this morning. Can I say unto you, hey, that time is a proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the proof of the five senses in Luke chapter 24, verse 39 through 43. You remember, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared unto the disciples, and they didn't know what they were seeing, and he walked through the door, and he told them, he said, "Handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone." Now we know that Christ was the first fruits. He had some kind of a body there. He had his glorified body that he ascended back to heaven with. We know that when we die, we go back to heaven. We don't have our glorified body yet. After we die, we're waiting on that glorified body. The spirit and soul go back to be with God. But we don't know what kind of body or what we have in heaven. We're a spirit, and our soul is there with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to get a glorified body one of these days. And Jesus already had his body at that time. And so he told the disciples, he said, "Handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone." He didn't say nothing about blood, because there's nothing that can enter heaven there that's going to be defiled. And we know that the blood is what defiles man. So we know that we're going to have some kind of a body of flesh and bone when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and brings the church with him. "I know what I've seen. I know what I've heard. I know what I've felt. I know what I've tasted." How about you this morning? Have you ever tasted? Have you ever felt? Have you ever sensed the power of God in your life? Then we see not only the proof of the five senses, we see the proof of scientific and archaeological evidence. The place where they buried Jesus was a place called Gordon's Tomb. They said that the soil was examined, and it was determined that nobody ever decomposed in that tomb. What about that? You know, this forensic science stuff, it's amazing what they can figure out. These scientists and these people that study these forensics of crimes and different things, they can prove a lot of things by forensic science. And they proved here that there's no other body ever been decomposed in that tomb that Jesus was supposedly, where they have determined that he was buried in that tomb. Another one, Littleton and West, two men, said they set out to disprove the conversion of Paul and the resurrection of Jesus. You know what happened? Both of them wound up saved. Both of them wound up saved. So we see the proof of the five senses, but we see the proof of scientific and archaeological evidence. I'm going to tell you, you can't argue with evidence this morning. And then we see not only the proof of the resurrection, but we see also the number three, and lastly, the purpose of the resurrection. Verses 13 through the remaining part of the verse 23 that I read said, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Listen to this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Hey, I'm glad that because Christ did resurrect, because he is alive, hey, we got something better to look forward to this morning. We see the purpose of the resurrection. Number one, it activates the gospel. Verse 14. Said, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. A dead Savior can save no one this morning. The gospel hasn't been preached until we have told of the death, burial, and resurrection. And verses 1, verses 2 through 4 there this morning that I read to you said, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So Paul wasn't preaching something that he didn't know anything about. He had received that the gospel on the road to Damascus there when the Lord Jesus Christ struck him down there and that light shined down. And Paul experienced salvation there. He experienced the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was a blasphemer. Paul was trying to wreak havoc upon the church. He had letters to cast them in jail, even consenting unto the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he experienced salvation through the gospel, the good news that Christ has died, buried, and resurrected again the third day. And I'm glad the purpose of the resurrection was that it activates the gospel. It not only activates the gospel, but it authenticates our faith. It authenticates our faith. The resurrection says that what we believe has power and gives hope and peace. Have you ever experienced that peace in your heart? Have you ever experienced the saving power of the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection? Hey, the simplicity of the gospel this morning, did you know it's easy to get saved? Hey, I'm glad we don't have to go through rituals. I'm glad that we don't have to do this or do that. Hey, the Bible says, if whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I say the purpose of the resurrection was it might authenticate our faith that what we believe is true. Hey, we have the proof. We have the fact that Jesus died, was buried again, resurrected again the third day. Hey, we have the faith to believe and exercise our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. And it authenticates our faith. And not only it activates the gospel, it authenticates our faith, but can I say it arranges for our justification. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 said, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Because Jesus lives this morning, God had accepted his death as payment for the sins of all who will put their faith in him. Therefore, he sees us not as sinners, but as saints through the blood of Jesus Christ. That word justified, that just means to be declared righteous. Hey, that means that when God looks at you because of what happened on the cross and what happened on that third day, that we're justified, we're declared righteous, those that will believe and receive the simple gospel of the grace of God. Have you ever received the gospel this morning? Have you ever trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? Hey, do you have to have a place that you can go back to where the Holy Ghost dealt with you and He showed you that you were a hell-deserving lost sinner, and you took your place as a sinner, and you received Christ into your heart and was made a new creature in Christ? It arranges for our justification. And then let me say lastly, the purpose of the resurrection, it anticipates our future. Verses 22 through 23 said, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. So I'm glad this morning that Jesus is our guarantee. Hey, because He lives this morning, we shall also live. We know that over in 1 Thessalonians, that everybody's talking about what's going on today, and everybody's looking, and they're wondering what's fixing to happen and what's going on in this world. We look around, and this world's in turmoil today. Hey, we look at Russia's involved, and we know the prophecies about Russia, about Germany, and all that's going to take place, and people's wondering if we're close to the end. Can I say, yes, we are close to the end. Hey, we're close to the time that Jesus is going to come back and He's going to get us out of this mess. And He told the Thessalonians that over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." I'm glad because He lives this morning, we're going to live. Hey, I'm glad that we could be that generation. We could get out of here today on this Resurrection Sunday that's been set aside to worship and to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. Hey, this could be the day that we get out of here and Jesus is coming back. It anticipates our future with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven in a glorified body and forever to live forever and ever without any worries. Someday, thank God, this morning, He's come back. Can I say He lives this morning? Does He live in your life? Hey, I praise the Lord this morning for that passage over in the Scripture, Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, says, "He is not here, for He is risen," as He said. I remember hearing a story about this church that was putting on, or school that was putting on a little play about the resurrection, about Easter, and this little black girl had a part. And she was supposed to be her part. She was supposed to be an angel, and she was supposed to say those words, "He is not here, for he is risen," as He said. And when she got to it, she forgot her part. She said, she thought, "He ain't here. He already left out." And that's exactly right. Hey, He's not there this morning. He wasn't there when the disciples got there. He was already gone. And I'm glad this morning, hey, that He's alive. And He's very much alive this morning. And He's seated in heaven. Can I say, because He lives this morning, life itself is worth living today. Because He lives, hey, I want to live. Thank God this morning for the resurrection of Jesus. Thank God for a risen Savior. Thank God for a Savior this morning that's alive and well and making intercession for you and I today. Come on, Miss Tina. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever experienced the power of the resurrection of Jesus in your life? Have you ever come to that place in time where you realize that you couldn't save yourself? There's a lot of people going about this morning trying to save themselves. There's a lot of people that's trusting in the Pope. There's a lot of people that's trying to trust in the sacraments and the different things and the rituals that they go through. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, the only thing that you can trust in this morning is a risen Savior. And I'm glad that there's proof this morning that He's alive. And I'm glad I don't have to go through somebody else and I can come straight to Jesus. Have you ever trusted Him in the free pardon of sin this morning? Do you have a time when God the Holy Ghost showed you that you were lost and you were on your way to hell? You took your place as a sinner. Have you got a place that you can go back to where you drove a stake up and you got the facts that Jesus had died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day? You got the facts that you were a sinner, you couldn't save yourself, that you were going to hell. And you took your place as a sinner and you received that free gift this morning. Hey, you can have it today if you'll trust Him. The glorious resurrection. All around the country, people are celebrating the resurrection of Christ this morning. Hey, I'm glad he's alive. Is he alive in your heart? Have you trusted him as your Savior?